Masechet Shabbat in memory of Marcel and Jack Shasho. Ruach Adonai Tanichim Began Eden. Amen.
Daf Samech Zayin. Today's daf has been dedicated by Mr. Steve Spear in honor of his wife Miriam on her birthday. With thanks for her support to the study of Shas every day. Today's daf is being studied by Eidu Nishmat Chacham Baruch Rafael ben Miriam and Abraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanichim Began Eden. Amen. We are starting actually the bottom line of Samech Vav Amud Bet. Last three words on the daf. Amar Ravuna Le'eshata Tilta. For a recurring fever that happens every 3 days. Yeah, it's like a recurring 3 days, and then you get healed, and it comes back for 3 days. So the Gemara gives a remedy. Let the guy bring shiva silve. Silve would mean let him bring seven small branches. Mishiva dikle from seven palm trees. Vishiva tzibe. That would be seven splinters. Mishiva kishure from seven beams. Vishiva sichi. That would be yetedot is pegs. Mishiva gishure from seven bridges. Vishiva kitime and seven types of ash. Mishiva tanure from seven ovens. Mishiva afre and seven types of afar dirt. Mishiva sanre. Now she says sanre is by the threshold of the door where they put the bolt in. You used to make a hole in the ground. So taking seven different dirts from the thresholds of the doors. Mishiva chufre. Chufre would be pitch. Mishiva arbe from seven boats. He used to pitch the boat in order so it doesn't leak. Mishiva bune kamune and seven fistful of the granule called of the spice called kamun. Mishiva bine and seven strands of hair midikna de kalbasaba from a dog, yes, of an aged from the beard of an aged dog. What do you do with all this stuff once you collect it? Venitsayrinu behalala and put it all together and tie it around the besavara, around the person's neck, binira barka, with a strand of hair. Okay, right. So that's the refuah for Eshata tilta. Amar of Yohanan le'eshata tsamirta. Eshata tsamirta, as she says, holy shemehamemet vekodahat etaguf. She's, this over here is a type of fever that causes swelling throughout the entire body. Till now we're discussing just parts of the body is swelled. This is called eshata tsamirta, which is complete swelling of the entire body. How do you cure that? So the Gemara says, Lishkal sakina, take a sakin. Sakin would be a knife. Dikula parzela, that's all made out of iron. Vilizileka diika vardina, go to a place where there is a sene. Sene would be a thorn bush. Viliktar be nira barka, and tied to the bush nira barka, which would mean a right, like we said before, a strand of hair. Yoma kama, the first day when you're standing in front of this thorn bush, lihruk be purta, make like a niche with the iron knife that you have. Make a niche in the thorn bush. Velema and say, vayera malach Hashem elav. This is a pasuk that Moshe Rabbeinu said by the snare when he was there. The end of that pasuk says, Madua lo yib, God appeared to Moshe at the snare. Lemahar, the next day, lihruk bepurta, make another niche in the snare. Velem and say, Vayomer Moshe, Moshe said, Asura na vere, let me turn and go see this phenomenon.
And as she says, the end of the pasuk says, "Madua lo yibhar asneh." Why isn't the snare burning? Seems he's doing that because he's burning himself, because he has this fever, so he's going to a snare that was not burning, which will give him like a siman, that just like the snare didn't burn, so too his fever will also go away. The machar, the next day, the third day, lichrok bepurta, again come and make a third niche in the snare. Velema, and say, Vayar Hashem kisar lirot. God saw that Moshe turned to look at the snare, and as she says, the symbolism there is that as if you're saying that you want the sickness to also turn away, just like Moshe turned, so you want the sickness to take a turn, meaning turn for the best and go away. So Rav Acha tells Rav Acha, "Velema, why don't you quote another pasuk already? Why don't you quote in pasukim? Vayomer al tekrav halom." Right, when God told Moshe by the burning bush, don't come close. That's good for this case here, because it's like you're telling the sickness, don't come any closer. Please go away. So he says, you're right. So we're going to revamp the system of curing this eshatat semirta. The Gemara says, Ela liyomakama, on day one, lema vayera malach Hashem elav vayomer Moshe. Meaning, on the first day, instead of saying one pasuk, say two pasukim. The pasuk of Vayira Malach Hashem Elav and the pasuk of Vayomer Moshe Asura Navereh. Put those both pasukim on day one. Ul Mahar, day two, Lema Vayar Hashem Kisa Lirot. Ul Mahar, on day three, Vayomer Al Tekrav Halom. And the process is not over yet. Vechi Pasikle, which means when you are finished, litete velifseke. So that she says, bend the bush down, lower it down until it's lying totally on the ground. Velema, and then say hache. Say the following to the bush: hasene, hasene, the bush. Lav mishum degabiat mikol ilane. Stop because you are taller than all the trees. Ashrei HaKadosh Baruch Hu shekenteh alach, that God has rested His divine presence on you. Ela mishum demaychat mikol ilane. It's because you are the humblest and the lowest of all the trees, that Ashrei Kodesh Baruch Hu shekenteh alach, that God has rested His divine presence on you. V'chihechi dehamite eshata, and just like the fire was revealed to Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, those three tzaddikim were exposed to the fire when they were thrown into the fire. Va'arikat min kodamohi, and they were able to escape from it, which means they came out unscathed. Ken tahmine eshata leploni bar ploni, which means so too that I'm exposed, or this fellow, the son of his mother, Ploni, Bar Plonit, meaning say the guy's name, who's been exposed to, let's say, fire, meaning this type of fever, Mitairok, and I should be able to, he should be able to run away, Min Kodamohi, from it. Just like Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were able to run away from that fire, so too the fellow, the son of his mother, should also be able not to be affected by the fire of this fever. So that would be the sigula to get rid of that item. Now we'll go to the next thing.
Any documented cases?
No, not that we know of. Lesimta, that she says, simta is shchin. That's for boils. Lemahache. Okay, say the following. Now again, this is a sigula. Some of this just doesn't make logical sense, but that's the sigula of the cure. Say the following: Baz, Bazye, Mas, Masya, Kas, Kasya. Now what does this mean? So that she tells us that these are names of different angels, and the angels are called by their names based on what they do. Baz, Bazye. The angel that's Bazye is Baz. Baz means he
He breaks.
He tears.
Fine, as she says, shikurin, exactly. He tears. I mean, he tears up the gezerah. Mas, masyeh. As she says, mimasmesim. They say heals, but that's where we had the contention where, as she says, mimasmesim. Mimasmes means to crumble like. Okay? The angel that crumbles. Kas, kasyeh. Kas, as she says, is... Yeah, to grind up. Mikaskesin oto. Okay, so he's saying to the three angels, Baz, Bazir. The angel, one is involved in tearing. One is involved in crushing or breaking. And Kaskesin, one is involved in grinding. Sharlai ve Amarlai. These are two more angels. One is called Sharlai, one is called Amarlai. Ilen Malache. These are the angels. The Ishtelahu Me'arad is Dom. That was sent from the land of Sdom. As she says, they really didn't come from Sdom, but that's what you have to say to get healed for this item. And they came to cure Shechina Ki'ibin, boils that are very painful. Bazach, Bazich, Bazbasich, Mismasich, Kamun, Kamich. So these items over here that she says really do not have really too much meaning, these lines, but that's part of the lines that you have to say in order for the sigurat to work. Einich bich, einich bich. That she explains that to mean marich bich, shelo tadim yote, meaning your color should be by you, meaning you shouldn't become more red. It seems the boils are red, so he's saying einich bich, the color should stay, meaning it shouldn't get worse. Atrich Bach, that she says you should stay in your place, meaning Atrich is your place, which means you should not spread. Zarich Keklut VeKaparda, your descendants should be like a klut and a parda. Parda is a parrot, which is a mule. These are that she says Keklut Shineklat Zar'o B'Shinineh B'tno Shelo Yolino, like an impotent person. That is, Zera is not able to procreate. It's called the klut. You're telling the shrin, you're telling the boils, your descendants should be like a klut and a peri, which means unproductive, which means you shouldn't multiply. Delo para, delo rabia. Just like those two things, the klut and the mule, are not able to multiply. They're not reproductive. Kach. Lo tefre velo terbe, so too you should not continue to multiply begufe de ploni bar plonit, on the body of so and so, the son of his mother. Now we go to the next item, nekipa. A kipa, that she has two explanations, either abba'bu'ot, those also type of, let's say, warts on the body, or he brings down from another opinion that this is somebody that's been possessed by a demon. Okay, the kifa min ashon kofo, meaning he was possessed, taken over. Now lemahaki, let him say the following: Herev shenufa, person has a herev, a sword, herev shenufa, that is in its that's drawn, which means it's in the ready position to attack. The kela netusha, or you have a slingshot that's also in the prepared position. You're ready to shoot. La sheme yochav cholin machobin. Its name is not yochav. Right? The name of these items is not yochav cholin machibin. Of the sick ones that give many pain. Right? That's it. That's the sigurah. I say those words. The slingshot's name is not Yochav, the one that has terrible sickness. Leshida. Leshida is somebody that is possessed by a demon. Lemache. Say the following. Havit depakik. Depakik havit. Say it on both sides backwards. That's the lahash. Lita. You should be cursed. Tabur is broken. Mishumat is excommunicated, Bartit, Bartame, Bartina.
Now she says, those are names of the demons.
You should be excommunicated, cursed, broken, Keshamgaz, Merigaz, Ve'istemai.
Like those spirits called Shamgaz, Merigaz, and Istemai.
Okay. Leshida de Beta Kise.
To the certain Shida, to the certain demon that's specifically found in the bathroom. How do you get rid of that?
Lemahache.
Say the following.
Arkaf. Akarkafe de Ari,
which means to the head of the lion.
Ve'a'use de Gurieta.
A'use de Gurieta, Rashi says, is the nostrils of a lioness.
Tlebi'aketana. Ashkahtun,
that's where you find
the Shidai,
that's where you find the demons.
Bar Shirka,
the son of Shirka,
Panda.
That's the name of the demon. Yani
Shidai Bar Shrikai Pandai. Bimishra de Karte Hafte,
which means I knock them down in the land of Kirishin. That's the crest, that's the field in the plains of Kirishin.
Bilua de Hamra Hatarte,
and by the cheekbone of the donkey. Bilu'ah is the cheekbone. The hamra, by the hamor, hatarteh, I smote him. Yeah, it's a sigulat to get rid of that shit.
Ubne melachim bezagin.
We go back to our Mishnah. We said that princes are able to go out on Shabbat wearing their ornamental bells. So the Gemara says, our Mishnah actually also said that not only Bnei Melachim, but for that matter, anybody can go out with the ornamental bells. And the Mishnah only spoke in the present case, since it was normal for princes to go out with these bells. So it spoke in that case, but all Jewish people are allowed. So the Gemara wants to, who's the author of that?
Man Tana.
Who's the author of that statement?
Amar Rabbi Yoshaya, Rabbi Shimoni,
Be'amar, Kol Yisrael Bnei Melachim Hem. He gives the status that all Jewish people have the status of princes, even if they're not princes. And therefore, they can go out wearing the clothes of princes. So comes the Gemara and says, comes Rashi and says, Bnei Melachim, so that's the Rashi right before the Mishnah,
Hilkach,
Le'ani Nameh Hazya. A poor man can also wear these bells on Shabbat.
Ve'lo Ginuta Dideh.
We don't say that it'll be like a derogatory thing if he wears it, because you might argue and say it looks funny. These are things that are only worn by the aristocrats. Now you're going to have a poor guy wear it, so it might look so funny. That looks like it's arrogant. Like, what is he wearing these clothes that don't belong to him?
Veshalif.
And then maybe he might, on his own, take it off. Or the opposite. Maybe he'll take it off, not have an embarrassment, but to show it to other people, because it's such a novelty item. To with the aristocrats, they're not going to take their jewelry off, but they're expected to wear these things. They're not going to show it off to anybody. But an ani, you know, he might get excited. Look at this novelty item that I'm wearing, and he might want to take it off. So the hadush of Rabbi Shimon is, we don't say that. We say kol bnei Yisrael, bnei melachim, and therefore they could all wear these ornamental bells, and we're not suspecting that what that they will take it off. Gemara comes along and gives a different opinion. Rava Amar Be'arig Biksuto V'Devrei Hakol. He says no. He says the Mishnah that allows anybody to go out with these items, it's not the logic because we consider everybody Bnei Melachim. The logic is because we're talking about bells that are actually woven to a person's garment. And therefore, since it's woven, as we learned in previous Mishnayot, there's no suspicion that they're going to come and pull it off. And therefore, that's why everybody can go out with these garments. Which according to the first opinion, they were just resting on the garment. They weren't actually worn, but that's the way they would sit. They were, usually the aristocrats would wear it that way, and they wouldn't take it off. But according to Rava, yeah, but you can't let a regular guy go out without it woven, because he might show it or take it off,
However, in a case where it's woven, Be'arig, everybody will agree with you. Even if you don't subscribe to the opinion of Kol B'nei Yisrael B'nei Menachim, if you're woven, weaving it to your garment, there is no suspicion. Comes the Mishnah and goes further and says, Yotzin Be'betzat Hargol. It is permissible on Shabbat to go out with the egg of a grasshopper. We'll see exactly what you're doing with this grasshopper egg. Ubeshen shu'al, or the tooth of a fox. Ubemesmer min asaluv, or a nail from somebody that was hung by wood, against the wood. Mishum refu'ah. All these items are permissible because they are healing. They cause a refu'ah. Devrei Rabbi Meir, the Hachamim Osrim. But the rabbis forbid this practice, af behol, even during the week, meshum darchei emori, because this was the way of the goyim. And the Torah clearly tells us, b'chokoteim lo telech, we're not allowed to follow their practices. Now the explanation over here is, it doesn't mean that whatever the goyim do, we're not allowed to do. Which is, whatever the goyim do that defies logic, that doesn't make any sense, then already, and is not proven, let's say, to be an acceptable healing, then already it's an issue of Chokotem Lo Telech. That's the way that Ashba understands, which means we don't say anything the Goyim does that it's forbidden, which means the Goyim wear shirts. So then we're going to say what? That a Jewish guy can't wear a shirt? No, we understand why they wear a shirt. That's a normal thing to wear a shirt. However, these items over here, taking a tooth of a fox and putting it somewhere in order to have a refuah, that really defies logic. And we didn't have a tradition by us, let's say that's considered a regular nefuah, because as we said in the previous Gemara, there are many sigulot that obviously were Jewish traditions. All these other things that we said, obviously were our Kabbalah we had. We had a certain tradition on. That's not the Chemuri. These items that Ashba says, either we don't have a specific tradition on them, and they were prevalent by the Goyim, and they defy logic, then you can put them in the category of Darkei HaEmuni. And the Gemara is going to explain this further. The Gemara says, Yotzin Bebetzat HaHargol. Tanakama says, Rabbi Meir, you can go out with the egg of a grasshopper. De'avde L'Shehla. As she says, it's medicinal for an earache, and they would tie the egg around his ear. U'Beshen Shel Shu'al, and the tooth of a fox, de'avde l'shinta, they would do it, or would take this tooth for people that have sleeping disorders. Meaning, Gemara says, de'haya, if you take it from a live animal, meaning when the animal is still alive, you take out one of its teeth, le'man de'na'im, that's for somebody that oversleeps. So you put it on him, and that'll cause him to wake up. Just like the animal's alive. Demita, if you take the tooth from a dead fox, leman delo naim. That's for a guy that has insomnia, that he can't sleep. So you put it on him and he will fall asleep. Ubimasmer min asaluf. And what is the nail from the fellow that you hung? Take a nail from that, the gallows, okay. And what do you do with it? So he says, de'avde lezirfa. Now she says, if a person has swelling because, let's say, he got punctured or he got an infection from metal. Metal, as she says, causes swelling. So therefore, he's saying, take this metal, this nail, and put it on the makkah, and it'll cause the swelling to go away. Now, Mishum Refuah Devrei Rabbi Meir. Right? Rabbi Meir says all these things are legal because they have medicinal powers. So comes the Gemara and says, Abaye v'Rav Adam Yitarvayu. Kol davar shiyesh bo mishum refuah, en bo mishum darkei ha'emuri. Their rule is that anything that has healing powers to it is not subject to the Torah law of darkei ha'emuri, following the ways of the Goyim. So therefore, that she says, shiyesh bo mishum refuah, point that she, shenir'it refuato, which means if the healing is understandable, which means it's logical, kegon shtiyat kos, which means you're drinking a certain potion of medicine, v'tachboshet makah, or you're putting a bandage on a wound, which means Uparchina na emen kegon lahash en nikar sheem arpe yeshlo mishum der kemuri. Mashma, that what? That if it's not an understandable type of healing, like you're doing something that defies logic, then it will be subject to derkei emuri. Abaye and Navaz logic is anything that's normal healing, that's understood, then already you can follow it. So the Gemara is going to ask, are you implying to say that if it's not logical and it doesn't make sense and it's hard to understand, doesn't mean forbidden? The Gemara is going to ask that question right now. Meaning if it's not logical from the medicine standpoint, yes, but mishum derkei emuri? Are you telling me it is something derkei emuri? Well, we have a question about Tanya. We learned in the Braita. Ilan shemashir perotav. A guy has a tree. And what's the problem with his tree? The fruits are falling off the tree prematurely. And then you can't save any of his fruit. So what do you do? It says, sokro besikra. You put a red marker on the tree. You paint it red. Veto'ano ba'abanim. Or you take rocks and you place them on the branches of the tree to weigh them down. And the Gemara is going to try to understand what do these things do to the tree. I understand why you take rocks and you weigh down the branches of the tree. In order to weaken its strength. As she explains, it seems that when a tree is, let's say, very, very strong, so it causes its fruit to ripen prematurely and they fall off. So therefore you gotta weaken the strong trees. How do you weaken it? You gotta slow it down. So how do you do it? You put rocks on the branches. So now it's weighted down. So it's gotta, you know, put its strength to the branches, and therefore it'll cause the fruit to stay. So that's logical. Now we understand why you'd be able to do that. However, Ela Sokro Besikra Maidifua Kavid. She's painting it red, putting a red marker on it. What is that going to do to the tree? And the Gemara is saying what? It's permissible. And there's no logic to it. And the rabbis didn't say it's a problem of derkei emuri. So therefore, what do you see? You see that why even things that don't have a logical understanding, that are really not refuah, still are permissible. The Gemara says, no. You misunderstood why you're putting the red marker on the tree. It's nothing to do with causing it to get better from the redness of it. So what is it? Kiechi de lehazie inche. We just want other people to see that the guy has a sick tree, and they'll pray for him. Therefore, second, he's putting a sign up, you know, please pray for the sick tree that I have. So you put a marker up, a red marker. So of course it has nothing to do with derkei emuri. That's a Jewish practice. Kedetanya, and the Gemara brings a source to this. It says when the guy that has leprosy is walking out of the camp, because he has to go outside the Mahaneh because he's Tameh, so it says he has to scream as he's walking out, Tameh, Tameh. He has to broadcast to everybody that he is indeed Tameh. So the Gemara wants to know, why would he make him do such a thing? So it says, Sarich leodia sa'alod rabim. He has to announce his pain to the masses, to everybody else, the rabim yibakshu alav rahamim. So everybody will pray for him. Which means the reason why he's saying Tameh Tameh is in order to enlist others to pray. So the Mefashim, the Hafiz Chaim says, we have a rule that normally it's much better for a person to pray for himself. Now what is this guy enlisting somebody else to pray for him? Pray for yourself. God answers a person's prayer like we saw by the case of Yishmael. When Yishmael and Hagar were in the field over there, and Yishmael was dying of thirst, so it says, whose prayer did God listen to? Kol HaNahar. He listened to Yishmael's prayer. So what is this guy enlisting somebody else? Pray yourself. So the Hafiz Chaim says, what's one of the reasons why a person gets leprosy? Because he abused his power of speech. He speaks Lashon Hara. So he says, once a person abuses his power of speech, it's as if his mouthpiece is broken. Now his prayers are not accepted. Just the things that come out of his mouth already, since he abused it, already will not work. So therefore, that's the problem this guy has. He says, please, I'm Tameh, and I don't have the ability to pray. Please, somebody else pray for me, because I can't get myself better on my own. Gemara continues and says, Amar Ravina. Ravina says, Keman talinan kufse bidikla. Who are we following? Who's the opinion that says that it's proper to hang kufser. As she says, kufser is a cluster of dates on top of a palm tree. It's the same story. They have a palm tree that all its dates are falling off prematurely. So the custom, they would take a cluster of dates and they would stick it on top of the tree. What does that do with the Gemara? Whose opinion is that? Gemara says, ki hai tana. It's like the tana we just mentioned. I think it's the same thing. When a guy walks down the street, they'll see a cluster of dates sitting on top of the palm tree. He'll say, oh, this guy's got a sick tree. And what will they pray for him? So therefore, it's the same thing to enlist others to pray. Tane tana beperik amorae. There was a tana that was learning perik amorae. There's a perik in the Tosefot of Masechet Shabbat that it's called perik amorae. The perik that discusses all the laws of Darche HaEmori. All things that are considered practices of the goyim, so they call it perik amorae. Kamed Rav Chaya bar Avin, and he studied that perik in front of Rav Chaya bar Avin. Okay, Amar le. So he told him, Rav Chaya told him, kolehu it behu mishum darkei emori. So all these practices that you mentioned and that we mentioned, they're all ways of the goyim. And therefore, you're not allowed to follow them. You're not allowed to do them. But she says, "Kulihu itbu, kol ashinuyot sham." Anything that's written over there in that perek, al tatayin lomar be'ahad mim em mishum darkei emori. Don't make a mistake and say that maybe one of them is not subject to darkei emori. Ela bechulan atas shone yesh. You must say every single item mentioned there is a problem. Levar mehane, except for the following two items that are legal. It's not considered that kemuni. What are they? Mi sheyesh lo etzim bigrono. If a person has a bone stuck in his throat, he's choking on a bone. So it says, mevi me'oto hamin. You bring from that species, which means if he's choking on a chicken bone, you bring a chicken bone. If he's choking on a fish bone, you bring a fish bone. Umaniyah le al kodkodo. And you place the bone on the guy's head who's choking, and say the following, had had nahit. Nahit means it's going to go down. Bala, bala, he swallowed it. Nahit, it'll go down. Had had. You say these words, and it'll cause the bone to pass. En bo mishum darkei amuri. And it does not subject to darkei amuri. We said yesterday in Halakha Yomit from the Maharil. The Maharil said that all the sigulot in Shas that are healing, the Ma'aril says it's forbidden for one to try these things at home. Why, he says? Because we really don't know how to do these things on our own. You know, there's a lot of details to do it the right way, and the concern is we might do it the wrong way, and it's not going to work, and then we're going to speak disparagingly about Chazal. Who say, oh look, they said to do this, and they said it gives refuah, and it didn't work. So he said, therefore, it's asur to do this. The Yam Shostom also brings this down. However, the Ma'aril writes, there's only one sigula in Shas that is tried and tested, and that's the one we just quoted. If somebody's choking, you could put the bone on his head and say the following words: "This will work." He says, and "This one you have no problem." Comes Gemara and says, "There's another one that works." Oh, that's not darkei amuri. At least that's le'adra. Ladra is somebody is choking on a fishbone. And she says it got stuck in his windpipe. Nemahache, say the following. Nanatsta kemahat. When it got lodged in like a mahat, like a needle. Nanalta ketris. It got locked in like a tris, like a shutter that locks in the window. Shaya shaya. Shayashaya means go down, go down. Now she says red, red. And we turn to the Amud Bet. Ha'omer, if a guy says, Gad Gedi. Gad Gedi means that she says, Hit mazel mazali. My mazal should rise. The mazal is like his constellations in heaven, that he's under the stars, right? So he wants his lucky stars to work for him. So he says, Gad Gedi. Or my mazal should be successful. V'senok lo ashke ubushke, which means, he says, usnok lo, which means, and it should not sleep, which means it should not be fatigued. It should not, my mazal should not be tired. Ashke ubushke, which means
not in the day and not in the night. Yom v'layla, which means his mazal should be rising and not be tired, not in the day, not in the night. So he says, yesh bo mishum darkei ha'emori. That type of line over there was a practice of the goyim, and you could not say it. As she says, all the rest of the things we're going to mention to the end of the perek are subject to darkei ha'emori. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, God, the word God, enu ela lashon avodah zarah. He said, is much worse than darkei ha'emori. This is already using the name of avodah zarah. Shnei emar, because there's a pasuk, ha'orechim legad shulhan. Those that prepare a table for God. God was one of the names of the avodah zarah. So therefore, he's telling you, forget about darkei ha'emori. You're involved in a much more severe sin, which is, you know, enlisting the avodah zarah to help you. So therefore, this God gedi certainly will be forbidden according to the Yehuda. There's another thing here. Hu bishma vihi bishmo. There was a practice, it seems, by the Emorim, or the Goyim, that at night there was a certain sigula that they would switch names. The husband would call the wife by his name, and the wife would call the husband by her name. Right? So, hu bishma, you know, the man with the lady's name, vihi bishmo, yesh bo mishum darkei ha'emori. Why would they do this? A certain sigula, she doesn't tell us what it did, but that's asur. Dunu dene. If a guy says, my barrels should be strengthened. Kind of the guy's barrels of wine, let's say. So he says, dunu dene. My barrels should be strengthened. Yesh bo mishum darkei ha'emori. That's also. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, en dan ele lashon avodah zarah. He says, worse. He says, the word dan is the name of avodah zarah. Shnei emar, hanishba'im ba'ashmat shomron ve'amru. Hey, Elohecha Dan. So you see the pasuk says Elohecha Dan. And there's a name of Avodah Zarah called Dan. So therefore he says that's assumed because you're mentioning the names of the Avodah Zarah. Ha'omer la'orev slach. If a guy tells the raven, right, he calls the raven slach, tell the raven to croak. Ve'le'urbeta, or the that's the female raven, shirike. You tell it to, you know, to shriek, to cry out. Va'azili liz navich letova, and turn your tail to me for the best, for good. Yesh b'mishum darkei ha'emori. It seems that ravens were the bearer of bad news, and therefore, when a person would see a raven, he would want to turn it around that the raven would herald good news. So he would say this thing over here. That's already darkei ha'emori. Ha'omer. If a person says, Shahatu tabnegol ze shekara arbit, which means, if a person says, slaughter this chicken that called out in arbit. Now that she says, shekara arbit, iher yoter mishar haverav, either it means that he came late. Where did he come late? It seems they were going somewhere, and this was the you know, the last chicken in the group. Now she explains, no, it croaked or it made noise like a raven. So you see an awkward chicken that's making sounds like a raven. So the Greek would be superstitious to this. So they would say, slaughter the chicken shekara arbit, that called out like an orev, that called out like a raven. V'tamnegolet shekara gabrit, and a rooster or a hen that calls out like a male, which is, if the hen sounds like the rooster, they would slaughter that animal as well. Yesh bo mishum darkei ha'emori. So that's a problem. That's also the practice of the goyim. Eshteh ve'otir. A guy says, I'm going to drink and leave some over. Yesh bo mishum darkei ha'emori. Which means they used to drink wine, and they used to specifically leave over some wine in their cup in order to give beracha. They figured if you leave some over, it'll be a siman beracha. They would say, Eshteh ve'otir, Eshteh ve'otir. That's darkei ha'emori. Ha'mebaka'at betzim bakotel. The guy is breaking eggs against the wall. That's a machloket, if he's breaking regular eggs, if he's just cracking shells against the wall after the chicks came out. And she brings different girsaot over here. Bottom line, what is he doing? They practiced, they would do this in front of young chicks, in order they shouldn't die. So they would crack eggs against the wall in front of them. Bifnei Ephraim, in front of the young chicks, yesh bo mishum darkei amori, subject to the darkei amori. V'amegis bifnei Ephraim. Megis means a person is mixing something. He takes a pot, and he's just mixing things in front of young chicks. He seems also that was a sigula, that they shouldn't die. Yesh bo mishum darkei amori. That's also darkei amori. Hamrakedet והמונה 71 אפרוחים בשביל שלא ימותו יש פה משום דרכי המורי. What is מרקדת literally means he's dancing. What is he dancing exactly? He's dancing in front of the chicks. He's doing some type of dance there in order they don't die. והמונה 71 אפרוחים, or he counts 71 chicks. That was a certain sigula that you count 71 in order that they don't die. That was the magic number. So he says that's also darkei amori. Hamra kedet le kutah. There used to be a food they used to eat in the olden days. It was called kutah. Kutah is like yogurt. It's a sour yogurt. And it seems that when the goyim used to make it, they used to dance in front of it. And that used to cause the kutah to become strong. Vam shateket la adashim. When they used to make lentils, they held that noise is not good for the lentils. So when they were making the lentils, they used to silence everybody. They would say, "Shh." I'm shateket la'adashim. V'am savachat le'girisin. When they were making beans, which is called girisin, they used to scream. They held that the screaming would make the beans better. All these practices over here, yesh bo mishum darkei amori. Hamashtenet b'fnei kederata. Somebody that urinates in front of their pot that they're making, bishvishtet pashil mehera, in order that it cooks fast. Seems that this was a sigula. Instead of just raising the fire, they used to. yes, bo mishum darkei amori. So this is also a subject of darkei amori. Aval, it says notnim kisam shel tut. Tut is a berry. You're able to take a kisam, a piece of wood from the berry bush. That she says it's a very, very potent branch, let's say. It's very, very sharp, I should say. And when you put it in the tavshil, it causes it to cook faster. V'shivrei zichochit. Or you can take broken pieces of glass and put it in the pot. B'kidera, b'shivrei shetetpashil mehera. But the rabbis forbade this practice, not because of the darkei amori, but b'pnei sakana. If you're going to place a little piece of glass in a pot of food, so of course it can lead to sakana. Okay, God forbid somebody should not come to swallow it. Tanu rabbanan. We have a braita. Notnim bul shel melach letoch haner. It is permissible to take a bul shel melach, that she says a handful or a fistful of salt and place it in the oil. What would the salt do to the oil? Rashi says, "Bul shel melach, male igrof melach, bishvil shetair v'tadlik, in order that the light will light brightly." She'en zenihush. He said, "That's not a nihush, a certain type of sigula magic." Ela misayayach mamash. This we know. Fact: the salt causes the oil to give a lighter flame. Shamelach tzolel et Hashem, and somehow it makes the oil more clear. The mashik harapetila, and it goes after the wick better, and it works. It's how this can work even today. Notim bul shemela letoch haner b'shvil shetair v'tadlik, v'notim tit v'charasit tachat haner, and you're able to take tit, which would be, let's say, tit would be pitch or tar, v'charasit would be pottery, tachat haner, it would place it underneath the receptacle, b'shvil shetamtin v'tadlik, that would cause the oil to become cool, and it wouldn't draw as fast. And therefore, it give you a longer drawer. Comes the Gemara and says, "Amar Rav Zutra, Hay man de mechse shargad de mishcha." There is a fellow that covers his oil lamp, as she says, "Sheosele kisui lemala." he covers the oil lamp, and what is that? It causes it to light much quicker, which means what's going to happen now, it's going to get so hot because he's covering it, it's going to cause the oil to burn itself. And therefore it's going to go out much faster, whereas if you're just letting it be revealed, just the wick is being lit. When you cover it, it causes the whole thing to become combustible. Umegalev nifta, or the opposite, when you reveal the neft lamp, so that also causes it to light much faster, to burn much faster. Ka'avar mishum bal tashchit. He says, that already is not a problem of that game, but you're just wasting. Because you're going out of your way to you're losing all the oil. So therefore you cannot do that practice. I also brought that in one of the books from the rabbi from Belz. It seems there was a certain segula that used to be out there that on Friday night, or for that matter, I guess any day of the week, but I guess Friday night is more logical, or more common, I should say, if a person's wick turned over in the cup, right? And sometimes it loses its balance and it tips. So there was a sigula to take the bread, the Friday night bread or the Shabbat challah, and put it next to the ner, and magically it would just stand right up. So he says, even though that sigula we know works, but the Belzer Rav said that that's considered that ke'emuri. That practice cannot be done and is not acceptable. So there's a lot of powers out there that we're seeing that it is kohote. But the issue is if it's that ke'emuri. Now, I don't know why that ke'emuri would take Friday night bread exactly. Where would they get Friday night bread? But that's what he says. In any event, the Gemara concludes over here this perek. Hamra vehaye lefum rabbanan. Which means when they're pouring wine for a person. And now, this is the source where people used to make toasts before they would drink wine. So they would say, Hamra, wine, vehayeh, and life, mean to life, lefum rabbanan, you know, to the mouths of the rabbis. So they would give each other the berachot before they would drink. So Gemara says, "En bo mishum darkei amuri." That's okay. You're allowed to make a toast to give a beracha before the drinking. Ma'aseh b'Rabbi Akiva, she'asam mishten ibno. Rabbi Akiva made a party for his son. Ve'al kol kos ve'kos shevi, and at every cup of wine that they brought, Amar he said, "Hamra ve'chayeh lefum rabbanan." Wine and life to the mouths of the rabbis. Chayeh ve'hamra. And then he would say the opposite. Life and wine, lefum rabbanan, ulfum talmideon, to the mouths of the rabbis and their students. It seems the students were younger. So he would put hayeh first. And when some of the mefashim explain that when a person is younger, he needs the more staple foods. For example, bread would be a staple food that brings life. When a person's older, he doesn't need the bread as much as he needs the wine. So therefore, when he would talk to the older rabbis, he would say, Hamra v'hayeh, you know, bread and life, I mean, bread and wine and bread to the rabbis. When the younger guys, the Tamidim, he would say, bread and wine. And he would give the beracha. For me, you see that it's permissible to lift the cup up and give a beracha. It's not considered the way of the goyim. Hadran alach. Bameh Isha. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen ve'amen.